don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic and Nathan on a Football Wednesday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, teeing up Sunday's game between the Browns and the Bengals. We'd like to take you inside the locker room, something we do routinely on this show. And our man, Jameer Howerton, sits down today with... Oh, all right, we're gonna put that on hold for a little bit. Why don't we bring in our good buddy, if he's ready, Gerard Cherry. Can we bring him in?
And, Tomo Sushi
or is he
Hibachi.
Over at... Is he busy
Gerard
getting
Cherry
sushi at...
Tomo Sushi and
Tomo
Hibachi,
Sushi
restaurant
and
lounge. Locally.
Yes. So he's... He's always up for that and always up to join us. Hi, Gerard.
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Wonderfully. no surprise with Brian Hoyer being named quarterback, but I just want your take on any bigger picture thoughts and what it means, or are you just confining it to he earned this shot because of what he did against Minnesota?
I'm confined to he's in his shot for what he did against Minnesota, and what he did in Minnesota was a lot. Let's not minimize by any stretch of the imagination what he was able to accomplish. A guy that hasn't played meaningful football in a long time, especially as a starter, able to go out there and set the offense on fire. Granted, I understand the naysayers of Hoyer will say, well, you had all your weapons in regard to Josh Gordon, but let's not forget, he showed leadership, he showed poise, he showed conviction, he showed heart. He showed ability to bounce back from adversity. Those are all the things I'm looking for in a starting quarterback. You too?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things we talked about. You know, in the huddle, he said, we don't have a kicker. Let's go win it right now. And I think I like the moxie. Josh Gordon alluded to it, that he's scrappy. He's got a lot of confidence, short-term memory, and he was very impressed with Brian Hoyer and certainly trusts what he is able to do when the lights are on bright. Now, this is a much tougher matchup against a much better secondary for Brian Hoyer this week. If he plays well in this game, regardless of the outcome, do you think that that cements Brian Hoyer as the starter the rest of the season, knowing what the Bengals just did to Aaron Rodgers, who's pretty good?
Yeah, that's understatement said, at least right, Nate. I would say yes, that should cement him. At the same time, I don't know what has been established within the culture of that locker room, how Rob has presented. Is it one of the situations where he says you can't lose your starter job due to injury? And guys have been told that message. If that is the case, then you have to respect that. I don't think that's the case, but if it is the case, you always want to honor your word if you're the head coach. So that might be one of the reasons why you might see Brandon Weeden right back out there, because you got to maintain what you said initially. So from that standpoint, I really don't think that's going to happen, because if he goes out there and plays well again, guys, I know we are saying, okay, it's going to be about that quarterback next year, but wouldn't it be refreshing if the quarterback of the future was right here now in the building? I'd rather have that. And granted, I say go out there and get more quarterbacks, because you never go wrong with having a guy that can come in and give you quality play. But maybe Hoyer could be that guy. And I know people don't want to say that and designate him to that. But again, from what I saw, minus the two interceptions, I'm encouraged by Brian Hoyer a lot.
I love that you brought that up, Gerard, because I think I'm with you 1,000% here. The best scenario for the Browns is to not have a reason to draft a quarterback in 2014, despite all that I believe in with regard to accumulating those assets, that I had no problem with how this, or have no problem with how this team has gone about trying to load up and have the best position possible to, again, acquire. And it's not, you know, we keep saying it's the quarterback, but it's the quarterback, it's the receivers, it's offensive line, it's all of those pieces. But if the quarterback didn't have to be, if he did or he didn't, I think it's critical to end 2013 with an answer at quarterback. He may not be the answer, but he's got to be an answer. And what we don't know right now is if there is an answer, period. And Brian Hoyer right now is in the best position to change that. You could argue Brandon Weeden with some time to play and have Josh Gordon catching passes from him and et cetera may do that too. But don't you think that no matter what we see going forward, it would be better to have that guy, if it is Brian Hoyer or we have know by the end of the year, you've got something instead of just nothing, and the draft has got to fill that hole or the hole's unfilled.
Yeah, I'm with you, Vic. I'm all about proven talent as opposed to unproven. Now, granted, you have your Andrew Lux come every decade or two, and so far from what I'm seeing, that guy's not out there in this particular draft. There'll be pleasant surprises, but yes, give me proven talent, a guy that has shown something. Now, granted, because of what's taking place in Cleveland, people could say he may be your next Derek Anderson. That's what comes to the forefront of your mind. One great year and you fall off from that. But I look at Hoyer's approach to the game, and it's different than a DA's approach to the game. You see the command and leadership in the huddle. And I'm sorry. Football is so much about mentality. Your strongest player, one of at least, has to be your quarterback, who doesn't get up too low and doesn't get too down, but encourages guys to reach beyond themselves. And I saw that skill set this past Sunday. And I'm not fabricating that or embellishing by any stretch of the imagination. He exuded that. And that's one of the things that Brandon's going to have to work on, and I don't even think you can work on that. That's more of a natural thing that you just have in you.
You got to be true to yourself, and that's something Vic talked about earlier, and it is true. Certain people have that. Certain people do not, regardless of the skill and the strength of their arm. There are certain intangibles that certain people possess, and Brian Hoyer certainly may not have the physical gifts of a Brandon Whedon, but certainly mentally he has and he's got the moxie.
Right.
And it's rubbed off on his teammates. And if you heard Josh Gordon talk earlier today on the show, he acknowledged it. I mean, came out and said it plain as day as far as I was concerned. When you look at this matchup with the Bengals, obviously a much tougher test for the Browns. One thing that I'm concerned about, I trust Joe Hayden. I know that, you know, Buster has his ups and downs, did a little bit better at the end of the game, still was victimized a little bit, but I'm not afraid of Marvin Jones or Mohamed Sanu. The guys that are worrying me right now are three people in this passing game for the Bengals, and you can talk a little bit about this. The two tight ends, Jermaine Gresham and Tyler Eifert, and then Giovanni Bernard out of the backfield. I think there will be a lot of pressure on the Browns safeties and the Browns linebackers in coverage in this game. Do you think they're up to the challenge?
Well, they better be up to the challenge. I can say that much. And yes, that's what the Bengals will do. They will try to test these linebackers by creating a mismatch with Giovanni, with the LBs, as well as the safeties with Gresham and the other tight end whose name escapes
Tyler Eifert.
Rookie, Notre Dame.
That would be a smart move to do. It makes all sense in the world. So expect to see a lot of 12 personnel, which means two tight ends in the game and with that attack. But one thing I do like about this matchup, when you watch the Packers game, the most recent one in which the Bengals played, if you see how their front seven got after them, they gave Dalton troubles. He still makes mistakes. He still has some issues with the ball. And then the law firm, Green Ellis, he never fumbles. He has some fumble issues. So, again, if this defense can remain aggressive, shut down a run, granted, you don't want to – you hate to say, well, that's – yeah, you know what? Have Andy Dalton beat you. You won't have to shut down A.J. Green in the process, but I think if you can make them one-dimensional, you stand a chance. So I saw some things within that game as I watch it that the Browns match up well in a lot of ways with this team from an offensive standpoint if the defensive line comes to play. That's a big key of it being if the defensive line comes to play, and I think they will because they've done it three games thus far.
And another, it still comes under the category of if, Gerard, but if the defense, if the offense is what we think it will be with Brian Hoyer having a chance to continue to do the positive stuff that we saw a week ago with a coaching staff that's willing to give him those opportunities with the aggressive game plan, O-line stepping its game up and playing a little bit better. Again, Josh Gordon elevating some things. All of that plays into the idea, at least it occurred to me watching the Vikings game, that the Browns defense bought into that, and the Browns defense was feeding off of that.
Yeah, totally, because imagine this. You've been playing two games, and you get three and outs, three and outs, three and outs, three and outs, and your offense gets three and outs. After a while, for a defense, it becomes burdensome and tiresome to see that take place, and you get encouraged. These guys are moving the ball down the field. Our work is not in vain. So, yes, you jump on board with that. But back to your other comment, Vic, far as being aggressive with the offensive play calling, when you watch that Green Bay game, they're not taking that many shots down the field. They're doing that quintessential quick West Coast short passes here and there, hit you with 10, 15 yards or whatnot. So I'm waiting to see how the Bengals respond to those deep passes to Josh Gordon, to a Benjamin, and Best underneath. And hopefully Greg Little can continue to catch the ball like he did last week. And we have a chance in this game. So I know a lot of people are saying, well, the Bengals are a good football team. I've been saying I can't believe them because of the Bengals. But I will finally say they are a good football team. They find ways to win against quality opponents. Yet, after watching that football game, I don't walk away from it saying the Browns don't stand a chance. I walk away from it saying the Browns do the right things necessary, come out with that same attitude of, you know what, no holds barred, don't make that many mistakes, execute, and be physical. They can win this football game.
I think their defense is going to be able to put them in a position to win any football game. It's going to be a matter of the offense can keep up with it against a good defense.
Complimentary football.
Complimentary football. You like that as much as I like analytics. And let me ask you this. The offensive line, I thought, did a much better job against Minnesota. Partially, I think, due to the fact that they just played better, and partially due to the fact that the ball was coming out basically 25% faster with Brian Hoyer as opposed to Brandon Whedon. This, though, is going to be quite the test with Geno Atkins and company. Right. Do you think this line can hold up against the front of the Cincinnati Bengals?
I think they'll improve week to week because you can't forget O'Neal Cousins thrust into the lineup, not a guard. And obviously, week one, he was majorly uncomfortable in this show. Week two, same thing. Started sell down week three and week four, and Schwartz cut his sack total down. Now, granted, he didn't go against the same caliber opponent. But also, too, think about it. If you see the top notch of the NFL back-to-back weeks one and two, and then you get so-so from Minnesota, you're starting to believe in yourself and say, you know what, I can't play this game from a technical standpoint and just confidence. And I think Schwartz, as well as Cousins, is starting to get their confidence back that, hey, you know what, yeah, we looked awful, but we've worked our way through that. And that's a good thing, actually, to have that level of beat down early on and work through that. That shows character. That shows heart. And do they need to improve? Yes. So I'm saying all this to say that, one, we got two guys that are tough. They didn't throw in a towel. They didn't quit. And I'll go to battle with those type of guys before I go for a guy who has to always have it a rosy and sunny day.
He is Gerard Cherry. You're going to catch him in about 10 minutes or so from now
with
Bruce Hooley. That's right. Hooley and Gerard. That is coming up next year on ESPN 850 WKNR. Thanks, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Much more coming up. We will get into the conversation that we were going to try to have a little bit earlier with our own Jameer Howerton sitting down with John Hughes. That's next on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We've been on the run, driving in the sun.